had a couple people ask this morning, where's the coat rack? So thought I'd just mention that real quick. For the 150th anniversary, the 150th anniversary committee has been asking people to bring in their confirmation pictures, and they've made copies of them. And we're going to put as many confirmation pictures in chronological order as we have, and the best place they found to do it was to put it above the coat rack there. To do that, though, we're going to have to drop the coat rack a couple inches. So this winter, you'll go from hanging your coats up like this to hanging your coats up like this, and above them will be confirmation pictures for as many years as we have. So that's, I had to take the coat rack down to do that. That's why that is missing or gone. Where'd it go? I have no idea. So that one I can't answer where it's sitting. Other than that, no pre-service announcements other than we are glad to celebrate the sacrament of the altar this morning. Again, if you're not a member of Zion or not confirmed yet and would like to come forward for a blessing, please cross your arms over your chest so I know to give you a blessing. Let's now open our divine service with the singing of Lord, Open Now My Heart to Hear.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the July 18th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in this morning's broadcast are Dennis Knauer, Linda McEwen, and Terry Biggs. Nancy Lahr is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in loving memory of her mother, Lucia Lee. VBS Director Megan Clem is sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in honor of the Zion Lutheran Church congregation for their prayers, monetary and item donations, time and talents throughout the planning, setup, actual VBS, and teardown. Thank you so much. Our organist is Heather Heidbreder, and the opening hymn is number 908, Lord, Open Now My Heart to Hear, hymn number 908, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
To God on high. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading for this, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, beginning at the first verse. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will tend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the third petition?
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
What does this mean?
The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we ask in this petition that it may be done among us also.
How is God's will done?
God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil. The world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will.
The epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at the 11th verse. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Through him we both have access in the one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 709, "The King of Love My Shepherd Is," hymn number 709, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
sermon text from today's gospel reading, the 6th chapter of Mark, the 42nd verse, and they all ate and were satisfied. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this feeding of the 5,000, and as the scripture records for us, there were 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children are there, but if there was, you know, one woman to each man and one child, you're looking at, what, 15,000 people present at this miraculous feeding. Right? This feeding of the 5,000, at least is what we term it, is the only gospel, the only miracle that's listed in all four of the Gospels. And what's this text helping us do? This text is helping us to anticipate the heavenly banquet that is to come. So this text is helping us look forward to what's going to be ours in the heavenly realms. Right? So being fully satisfied. Right? The people were fully satisfied in their bellies, but when we look forward to heaven, we will be fully satisfied, period. Completely satisfied. We will be free of all sin, free of all the effects of sin. And so, you know, this is why it's the heavenly banquet. That's why it's called that, because we will be fully satisfied. There are words, the more strict translation, instead of ask the people to sit down, Jesus has asked the people to recline. And it was the habit of the disciples, or the Jewish people, I mean, to recline at the Passover meal, right? And so you have these things that are evoking. There's the green grass that puts us in mind, maybe throws us back, makes us think of the Garden of Eden just a little bit, just a little echo of the Garden of Eden. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God in the flesh. So there's a meal here. A meal with who? A meal with God on earth. And we are reminded then of when Moses took the elders of Israel up on the mountain. And they ate and drank with God and they did not die. Here's a time of rest and refreshment for the people. They were hungry. They were tired. They needed some food. They needed to be refreshed and fed for the day. Right? And Jesus asked his disciples to pass out this food. But kind of begs the question, what about Jesus? And here in this text, Jesus is tired. The disciples are tired. They're exhausted. They were going off into a desolate place for their own rest and recuperation. And they're not getting that. And so think about Jesus for a minute. We think about this miraculous feeding, but what point in life is Jesus at? Right? What's going on in his life? Well, this is a time of year for Passover. It's 1 year now, the Passover season, but 1 year before Jesus is going to be crucified. He knows he's going to die this death. He knows he's going to die for the people. Jesus knows what's coming. Jesus had sent the 12 out on their missionary journey. They had come back while the disciples were gone. Jesus got the news of the death of John the Baptist. And now Jesus' ministry in and around the region of Galilee was drawing to a close. It was coming to an end, and there was a lot of excitement about Jesus. Now, of course, most of it was just plain curiosity. A lot of people didn't have faith in him yet, but they were really fascinated by him, and they knew he could do things for them. Jesus was at the pinnacle of his popularity, and that, though popularity, did not necessarily equate to approval. We know that the people began to whisper about Jesus. Is he the prophet that was to come? And they were looking for this prophet who was to come into the world. They were looking for one who was greater than Moses, greater than David, greater than Solomon, who would bring the nation of Israel to prominence again and fill their bellies and satisfy all their desires with good things. Now, that's how they had read the scripture. It was a false reading, nonetheless, but they had bought into that. We know that after this feeding of the 5,000, the people wanted to bum-rush Jesus and make him king by force if necessary. And that wasn't God's plan. To make Jesus the king was the prerogative of God the Father, not the prerogative of the people. Of course, the people weren't happy about it, but it's the way it was. And in short order, when the people don't get what they want, many of them, after this episode in Jesus' life, begin to abandon Jesus and lose their trust in Him. So, all of this is in play in Jesus' life right now. All of this, Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. He teaches the people, feeding them spiritually. He feeds them physically, regardless of how tired and exhausted He Himself is. He looks at them and has compassion upon them. His heart goes out to them, right? Feeds 5,000 plus people. And then what does Jesus ask the disciples to do? Jesus asks the disciples to go pick up the leftovers. They take baskets. And as I was reading up on this, apparently when they traveled, right, people in this time, they had like a basket, like on a strap, you know, in a basket. And this is what you put your food in and the stuff you were carrying on your journey with you. And so you had this little basket, a carrying basket. And presumably these were the baskets that they went around and picked up the leftovers, put them in their baskets, and came back to Jesus. They filled these baskets out of the abundance that Jesus had given. And likely, since Jesus sent them out to pick up the leftovers, when they brought their leftovers in and came back to Jesus, each of the disciples, I guess it's a good assumption, shared what they had picked up with Jesus. So the 12 shared what they had with Jesus. Now, this is just a little aside as you're thinking about these things. It seems reasonable that the disciples fed Jesus with the remainder of that which Jesus had miraculously supplied in the first place. And so, take away this, if you will. Give back to Jesus a little bit of what He gave you in the first place. And that's a good reminder for our offerings, because what are our offerings? Our offerings are nothing less than a returning of a bit of what Jesus has given to us in the first place. And another little aside, just one of those little things that, it turns this whole thing on its head. These little Jewish traveling baskets, they had a name in Greek. And in Koine Greek, in Biblical Greek, it was, and let's see if I can get the pronunciation kind of right, a kophinos. A little traveling basket, or in the singular, kophanoi. So it's a little traveling basket. It, if you say it enough, the word becomes familiar to us, and a little bit more familiar to us. It's the root of where we get our word coffin from. Now think about that for a second, right? Who'd have thought to view our coffins that way? A little traveling basket. Huh. It's a completely different way of looking at things and thinking about where are we traveling to. You and I were traveling to heaven. And when we die, our souls go to heaven and our bodies wait here on earth. And while they wait here on earth, they're in a what? They're in a coffin. A traveling basket. There to await one thing. The resurrection of the dead. Now, how is the resurrection of the dead described for us? Isaiah tells us in this way, and it's a very common funeral reading. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make a feast for all peoples, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. And He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of His people He will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him that He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation. In other words, we will eat and be fully satisfied. That's the
essence of heaven. It's described in so many different ways for us in the Holy Scriptures, but it is the essence there, being fully satisfied. Moses and the 70 elders of the people saw God, and they ate and drank. At the feeding of the 5,000, the Jewish nation, both rich and poor, noble and commoner, saw God in the flesh, and they ate and they drank. At the feeding of the 4,000, the other miraculous feeding, it was mostly the Gentiles there who were fed, the non-Jewish people. The Gentiles ate and drank with God, and they were satisfied. All people then are invited to the heavenly banquet to eat and drink with the Lord. You and I, each and every one of us, unless Jesus returns first, absolutely, we are going to face our own death. But we can face death without fear. Our bodies, they will go into our little traveling basket. And our souls will go to heaven, there to await the end of time, where in the resurrection we will join God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the feast of eternity, a time when death will be swallowed up forever. And on that last day, the reign of God, now hidden in water and the Word, hidden in with and under the bread and wine, will be made known to each and every one of us, to all. And we will see the glory that is ours, the glory that was given to us before the foundation of the world was laid. We look forward to the feast given for all believers, Jew and Gentile, slave, free, male, female, from every tribe, people, nation, and language. Those who have come out of the great tribulation. Those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those who are clothed in Christ's righteousness. What shall they do? They shall now rest from all their labors. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How we as the body of Christ, the church militant, long for that banquet. How we long for that rest, which leads us to say that longing does, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. And bring us to those green pastures. Bring us to that banquet hall that we so long for, that we may each eat and be satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
Have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 a.m. or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of our Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, hear our prayers for your people and attend to them. You, O Savior, have gone to prepare a place for us, and if you have gone to prepare a place, you will come back and take us to be with you where you are. Send to us, O Christ, your Holy Spirit, so that we would be prepared to meet you on your return and be ushered into the heavenly banquet that has no end. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, in your good and gracious will, you have chosen to call Judy Smith's mother to yourself in heaven. We ask you to receive Judy's gratitude that you allowed her mother to have 92 years of life and now have given unto May her rest. May Judy and her family rejoice in the gifts that you have given. We also pray for the family of Doris Steffens as they too grieve the death of Doris and yet rejoice at the call to heavenly glory. Comfort, we pray you, all who mourn the death of loved ones with the promise of a glorious resurrection and a joyous reunion on the last day with those they love. Lord, in your mercy. O Almighty God, who governs all things, as teachers and families begin to prepare for the upcoming school year, we ask your grace not only upon our synodical schools, but also upon all schools in our nation. Bless us this school year with an abundance of caution and an abundance of patience, along with a cornucopia of learning, to the end that before we even realize it, another school year will have passed and we will be praying our thanks to you. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. We continue now with the preface. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead and put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Amen. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
First distribution hymn is number 725 out of the Lutheran Service Book, number 725, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
Let us rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 711, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, number 711, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
One brief announcement, just a reminder, this week my family and I will be going on vacation, so the next two Sundays we will have guest pastors. If there are any pastoral emergencies, please call the church office. Pastor Johnson is on call, but there are also pastors, other pastors in the circuit available to help. Mrs. Clem?
I'm not.
Megan?
It
Maple bacon crickets are pretty good, by the way, just so you know. May the Lord bless all of you. You're coming in and you're going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.